Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, welcome to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Shukr alhamdulillah. Another wonderful weekend gone by, of course, weather-wise, most certainly. But I make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has and will bless us all in every other way, inshallah. And may He always grant us a barakahful day, week ahead of us, inshallah, and always. May we also begin this day with a dua, a smile, calmness of mind, coolness of emotion, and a heart filled with gratitude. That is shukr to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah seal, protect, and free us, our families, from harm and danger. This day is a gift from Allah, so let's be grateful and thank Him. Alhamdulillah. Ameen. Ya Rabbil Alameen. Alhamdulillah, we commence this morning's program with an interview with psychologist Sister Shaista Ibrahim. Today we're touching on a very touchy subject. It's called self-control. Inshallah, the second interview will be around 10:30, and this time it will be with Sister Taskeen Karim, and we're going to be talking about holding one's tongue. Our Islamic story is titled 500 Years of Worship, and inshallah we conclude the hour with Signs of Allah, and we're looking at the microscopic organisms and also maybe colorful nature, inshallah. So all of this coming up within the hour. We have Sister Shaista online. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Shaista. Jazakallah khair for joining us this morning.
Walaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It is always a pleasure to be with you, Sister Zeenat, really, and jazakallah for thinking of me.
Alhamdulillah, it's wonderful, and I love waiting. I actually wait very eagerly to do this interview with you, because I know you always have such wonderful things to say to us, such inspiring things for our listeners. And like today, I think we're really going to be touching on a very touchy subject. It's called self-control, something that many of us lack. Definitely. Okay, so let's talk about this. They say that self-control is the ability to regulate and alter your responses in order to avoid undesirable behaviors and also increase desirable ones and achieve long-term goals. Now, research apparently has shown that possessing self-control can be important for health and well-being. And I think that is something that we ought to know, you know. It's so important for us to be able to control ourselves at all times. Sister Shaista, you know, I've said a little bit there, but what is self-control really involved?
Okay, so Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The intro you gave was absolutely perfect. It is about how we manage our impulses that we have within our bodies, with the emotions, and how we behave towards achieving long-term goals. Okay, so self-control is needed to actually achieve anything that we want to. So what we're actually saying is that, do we have goals? Yes, everybody has goals, alhamdulillah. What should we be doing towards it? And it's actually very difficult, because we can see that sometimes in life, we go on the same journey, we're trying to learn the same things, we're trying to shed the same unwanted weight, and it's about learning self-control that we can actually achieve these goals. And sometimes people are very impulsive, you know, they just give in, we don't understand, and we don't see the big picture right at the end. So basically, in a nutshell, this is what self-control is. Mm-hmm. How to hold ourselves back from emotionally, from our behavioral patterns, from even those little impulses the brain gives us that go for it, it's okay, it's just one, you know, mm-hmm. How we can actually control and handle that.
Okay. Now, what type of goals often require self-control?
Okay, so, you know, if you look at the human person, there are so many things that everybody's wanted to achieve. For me, the first thing that comes to my mind is weight. You know, people love and have been wanting to shed weight, and you look at a person and they'll say, oh, but I've been on that diet, and just to put it all back on again and even more. And what happens in that little lifetime that they live, unfortunately, is that if they've had 10 kilos to lose, example, to get to goal weight, they would lose 100 kilos, because it would be the same 10 kilos over and over and over again. So it's about, the unwanted rate. Or it could be about if we had somebody in our lives that was really affecting us, a mother-in-law, they were saying bad things, sister-in-law, or just a friend that you needed to really sometimes confront. And so one of the, self-control would be, is this the right time to actually say what I need to say? Do I need to wait? The timing should be right. My word should be correct. So anything that requires us to do something, it's even sometimes as simple as, exercise. It's about self-control, no matter how cold it is, no matter how what the weather looks like, no matter how I feel, this I know is good for my body. It's about a person who's doing something for health. You go to the Hakim and a lot of people will say, did the Hakim put you on that Dal diet? And I couldn't do it. I did it for like 3 days and I just gave up. And then you hear somebody else that I persevered and I did it, and he patted me almost on the back in a sense, just to say, you're one of the very few people that actually managed to do that. So between those two people, that's self-control. It's also like if you want to kick out a bad habit. I mean, some people are addicted to TV. You're addicted to porn. So self-control comes literally in all parts of our life.
Most certainly. Just about everything you think of, you need to be able to.
Absolutely. And even Quran, if you really think about it, some people say, when I read Quran, I just fall asleep. I think most people would, because it's a very beautiful, soothing thing. Allah sends his blessings on the person. He sends the kina on that person. I think some people get invigorated, but generally a lot of people get, and yet some will persevere and read more, and others will say, oh, I'm so tired, I think I'm just going to put the book away. So that, again, is between the two, self-control. How do I handle myself? How do I handle this emotion that's coming up? Like, okay, just put it, tomorrow's another day, you've done enough. Or how is it about, no, I'm going to control this, because it's really not about my mind telling me, but about me being in control. It's almost like how we can handle our nafs in a way as well.
Most certainly. Now, what is the role of delaying gratification in self-control?
Okay, so that's a very nice thing, and I'm glad you asked that. So delaying self-gratification. So let's ask, what is gratification? That's when we literally want to reward ourselves and we say, wow, well done, you've done great. So it's a good example. If we use a little bit of an example like the exercise, if a person's been trying to shed some weight, then, if they lose, we normally say have some short-term goals, and when we reach those and achieve it. But now they've lost like 2.5 kilos, and they're really, chuffed to themselves. They're really proud of themselves. So instead of saying, I'm going to have that favorite meal, I'm going to have a cheat day right now, they can delay that gratification, that feeling of I've achieved, I've done well. And when you delay that gratification, we actually train the mind that you can do even more. Because if you give yourself rewards for every 2.5 kilos and you have, like example, a person has 15 to 20 kilos, it's a long amount of kilos with amount of time. And sometimes if you're going to give it for every 2.5 and then you have a cheat meal, you basically put on a kilo again. And then they've got to lose that all over again. By the time they've lost 5 kilos, they're tired. They're really exhausted because they had to lose the one that they put on with a cheat meal. Because after one cheat meal, sometimes it's difficult to get back on the wagon again. So delaying gratification means that you just tell yourself you move the goalpost for yourself, which is wonderful. It's also something that we need to teach our kids. There was a lot of studies over the years that when we show kids and we tell our kids no, and we say, you have a choice. You can actually have this right now. But if you wait, we'll give you even more. And that's like, if it's exam time and you just get something because they did well, or you can say, no, I want you to do your chores in December, example, and then I'm going to give you something really good. When you have children that know how to differentiate between the two and they delay gratification, they don't just go for the quick fix quickly and just feel good about themselves, they actually achieve more in life. They actually feel really good. Example, it's also the lady who says, today I'm going to just tell my friend off and she says something. And the friend is sensitive. That was not the right timing. But you say what you need to say, and because you haven't prepared, you're not calm, you go over the limit, your own limit, and you say things that you weren't even planning to. So you hurt feelings really badly. It's gratification. Ah, good, I told her. You know, I'm so glad I just mentioned it. But now you've really burned the bridges. You've really hurt that relationship to such an extent where if you delayed feeling good for that moment and waited another time, the timing would have been right. She would have maybe in a better space to listen to you carefully, to introspect what you're saying. And it could have helped the relationship a lot more. So delaying anything that we think will make us feel immediately good is actually excellent. So when you tell your kids no, don't give in because they cry. Don't give in because they start behaving and throwing tantrums on the floor and you have to give in to them. If you do that absolutely once, they know how to handle you. They know what it means in their mind is throwing a tantrum equals mommy listening to me all the time. And then you wonder, my kid just drives me crazy. But you've actually helped that behavior pattern grow. So delay feeling good for reaching a long-term goal. That's what that means.
Okay. So this just brings me to one question that's just come to mind with regards to children and tantrums. Normally if a child does throw a tantrum, so what you are saying is let them go through that whole tantrum of them and then perhaps sit down and start talking to the child. Is that probably Absolutely. The right way to do it?
Absolutely, because tantrum is their way of just trying to irritate you. Because we know when kids cry, we always say, keep quiet or you're hurting my head or go to your room or something like that.
They can't scream.
Absolutely. And they know their parents. They know what really ticks us off. So they will do that in order to get, and especially in a public place, because as parents we get very embarrassed. And then you think, okay, yeah, just take the toy quietly and walk out. But they've won. And what it's taught them is, ha, this is the way I can behave. So a lovely video I watched once is the mom watched the child throw a tantrum. And then she said, that's it. So she put her handbag down in the aisle of the trolley, of the supermarket, sorry. And she lied down on the floor and she started screaming, obviously not as loud, but acting really crazy. And the daughter actually sat up and just looked at the mother. And she says, no, I don't want you to talk to me this way. I don't like you crying this way. And but she behaved exactly the way the child did. Child was absolutely stunned. And she said, but this is what you look like when you're screaming. Is this, do I look pretty now? And the child shook the head. And eventually mom said, will you stop crying? And will you listen to me so we can go home? And I promise I'll get you this at another time. And the child got up. So sometimes we have to behave like children. Sometimes we have to just let the tantrum play out. And eventually, sometimes you just hug them. Every time I watched something else recently, and every time the child threw a tantrum, the father allowed it for like maybe 10 seconds. And he said, okay, you had your turn. Now my turn. And then he also went, he chunked a little bit, 10 seconds. And then he stopped himself. And then he went to his the other child and he said, okay, your turn. So that child was, there was no reason for her to throw a tantrum, but he was just trying to teach a lesson. So she also wailed a little bit, 10 seconds. He said, okay, stop, mom, your turn. And then it went round a few times until the child said, when he said, okay, your turn, she just shook her head. No, like, I'm ready. I don't want to throw a tantrum anymore. And that was over. So yes, it's the same thing as when you're trying to wean a child off the breast or start potty training. You know, you don't give up once when the child says, I don't want to go, or there's nothing happening in the toilet. You don't give up. We persevere like 2 or 3 days because that delayed gratification, that putting ourselves through all those tantrums, you realize the long-term goal, my child is never going to need a nappy again, and they're eventually going to go to the toilet on their own. Mm. So it's exactly the same thing.
Thank you. I think many mothers will relate to that today. Anyway, what are some of the health benefits of self-control?
Okay, so when you have self-control, you start really feeling good about yourself. So you understand who you are, you start developing good relationships. So even if you're doing things for health, you actually start saying to yourself that I am somebody who can achieve everything I put my mind to. Mm-hmm. So you're kind of giving a subtle message to your mind that no matter what I do it well. I do it amazingly, and I can do it. I can achieve it. So self-control means that we can have healthier view of ourselves, which increases our confidence, our self-worth, our self-respect. And a person that has self-respect, you're not going to want to do drugs, example. You're not going to, you're going to start taking yourself more seriously so that even your health will improve, the way you dress, your posture, and even possibly weight. And also, you have a healthier relationship, because if you have the health benefits of self-control, you're not going to tell anybody off anything in the worst manner. You're going to wait for the right time. You're going to decide if this is the kind of thing that is either going to win friendships or not. So your even your EQ, your emotional quotient that we you know, don't talk about often enough, but it's always IQ. But even that is improved. So your relationships start improving. And people look at you as an easygoing person, somebody who you can speak to, somebody who doesn't, you know, lose control for the smallest thing. You become a little bit more endearing to people, you know, and you start achieving your goals, which again build even more benefits. So self-control is amazing.
And indeed, it says learn self-control and you can master anything, or everybody for that matter.
Because that's the message you're giving your mind. You can really do anything. And then anything you put your mind to, it's like, ah, that's child's play. I can do this.
Well, certainly. Anyway, and the final question that I have for you, how does willpower link up with self-control?
So they actually kind of go hand in hand. You know, a lot of people put a lot of emphasis on willpower, and it is absolutely necessary. I always think that willpower for me is when you're pushing yourself, you know, when you're actually depleting something, when you actually have to tell yourself no, you know, in a way, I wish I had more willpower. So you actually have something external that we have to blame. So as much as it works well for me that, yes, self-control and willpower go hand in hand, I also strongly believe that we have to train our bodies and our minds to know and understand what it will feel like when we actually, you know, achieve that goal. So that's why we talk about getting your mind to work with you. And I love talking to my mind. I know people think it's, you know, I'm crazy or it's a crazy thing to do. But sometimes you really got to say, you know, remember, do you know what it will feel like when I'm going to be so slim, example, or healthy, or when I go to the doctor and he's going to say everything's really good, or, you know, everybody, my husband and I are going to be such, you know, close a couple. So if we actually go into the feeling of what that feels like, and that's why the mind is so important, it allows us to feel exactly what it will feel like at that moment. And once the mind understands how wonderful that feels, you've won half your battle already. So for me, willpower is extremely important. It is definitely there, but it is not everything. We have so much more that we need to rely on as well.
Mm-hmm. And just finally, you know, what message would you like to share with our listeners? What message would you like to leave our listeners with?
That with regards to self-control, is that it's necessary. It's really important. And sometimes, even when you look at our gene, it really asks us to do things. I mean, self-control, we do. Everyone has it. If you grow up knowing that you have to keep rosa whether you like it or not, and that's what the family does, you don't think twice about it. Even on a hot day, yes, we all say the rosa's long or I'm a bit thirsty today. But we know that we actually manage. And at the end of the day, Allah gives us the reward after 30 days. And, you know, not after every day, he says, okay, now you're going to feast at night. I mean, yes, eat healthily, but he gives you tarawih salah as well. So it's self, you know, gratification immediately. It's not meant to be. You're meant to do something for a prolonged period of time before, and then the day is exceptionally wonderful when you actually treat yourself. So again, so, you know, rosa, salah, whether you like it or not, you're watching an important program, you have to leave it and go to the masjid, or you have to leave it and go to salah. So our deen actually teaches us self-control all the time. Our deen teaches us how to turn to Allah, how to leave what is important, we think is important, for us to do something even more important. So alhamdulillah, we have been blessed that we have such a beautiful deen that is training us. And if we can do that in our salah, then you can do that in every other part of your life too. So just believe in yourself, know that you have everything you need within you.
Hello. Okay, I hope, I think we've just lost Sister Shaista, but anyway, we've come to the end of our interview right now. We hope to speak to her again, inshallah, in the future, in a wonderful way of, inspiring us out there. Also, I'd like to leave you with a quote where self-control is concerned. It's a quote from Morgan Freeman, and he says that self-control is strength, calmness is mastery. You have to get to a point where your mood doesn't shift based on the insignificant actions of someone else. Don't allow others to control the direction of your life. Don't allow your emotions to overpower your intelligence. Alhamdulillah, I'd like to leave you with that, and we take a short break. When we return, inshallah, we'll be ready for our next interview, which is with Sister Taskeen Karim. Alhamdulillah, we have her with us in the studio, and now we're going to be talking about holding one's tongue. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to Socially Speaking. I'm your host, Sister Zeenat, and joining me in the studio today, and I think I'm feeling so good to have somebody with me in the studio today, is Sister Taskeen Karim, and we're going to be talking about holding one's tongue. And like I said, this is also such an important topic, and we really need to listen very carefully today, inshallah. Okay, so we have Sister Taskeen Karim with us. Assalamu alaikum and Jazakallah khair for joining me in the studio today.
Wa alaikum salam. It's a pleasure.
Okay. This name, just before we continue, I don't have much information with regards to you. So can you just tell us a little about yourself, please?
Okay. My name is Taskeen, and I have a madrasa of my own that I started about 3 years ago. After I completed my anima course, I worked in multiple schools, Islamic schools, and Maktab Madrasa, and I just didn't like the attitude that I found that children had towards Madrasa and Deen. And I wanted to change it, and I wanted to make the kids love Madrasa again and love the Deen again. And so this is what I'm doing currently. I go to children's homes, I go to your home personally, and I do madrasa with you, and I've made it a fun, safe space. Also, over time, I've noticed that there are many ladies who are interested in tajweed classes, and they also are a bit shy or nervous, to be in a classroom setting. So I also offer that individual attention with a person. I come to your home, or we can do a Zoom class, whatever is more comfortable for you. And I do tajweed classes for ladies as well. And over time, I found that it was important for me to do a life coaching course for what I'm doing. And so I've done that as well. I'm a qualified life coach. I do see clients on a one-on-one basis. The name of my life coaching venture is Makings of Me. You can find this handle on Instagram, and also my madrasa's name is Making of a Muslim. You can also find that handle on Instagram. And yeah, that's basically who I am and what I do.
Alhamdulillah. And you're based in Lanesha?
No, I'm not. I actually live in Ridgeway.
Okay.
But I travel to all over. I travel to Houghton, I travel to Amarantia, all my client base is all over. So I actually go out and I spend the day out going from client to client.
Oh, alhamdulillah. I find this very interesting because I think, I'm sure it has been going around already, it has been happening. I don't have any children in madrasa or school anymore, but I do have grandchildren, and I was just thinking it's wonderful to be able to have somebody that can actually come out to your home. You do find some children that really needs individual attention, and maybe they find it a bit difficult in a classroom setting. So I think this is a wonderful idea for you to actually go out to the house and try and teach children there, inshallah. And inshallah, Allah bless you and all the best in your ventures, inshallah. Okay, so now we're going to be talking about something very important. Like we said, it's all about holding your tongue. Now, among Allah's blessings upon man is that He made him a thoughtful and sane being and created a tongue for him. He made him able to utter sounds and clarify what he wants through his words, which he spoke. He has only to speak to let people know what he wants. Thus, we should thank Allah for the blessings which He bestowed upon us. We should use our speech in useful ways and not speak but goodness. This is so important for us to know. You know, sometimes, unfortunately, it's also something that we lack in our lives. You know, we just talk without thinking sometimes, and we don't realize what we're actually doing to the next person. You know, sometimes we jokingly do it, but we don't realize how we hurt the next person. And that is so important for us to realize. As Muslims, we should never be hurting the next person's feelings, no matter even in jest. Okay, so let's talk about this. How can we use our tongue for goodness, really?
You know, one of Allah Ta'ala's blessings is that He created us with the ability to be thoughtful and with hikmah. And so to be aware of what you would like to say and to think before you speak, and to try also to use appropriate and positive words only, because we are in control of what we say. We have that power. And when you have that kind of power with you, it's so important that you are responsible with it. And so this is what we are talking about today is, try only to be positive. Try only to use it for goodness. Try only to say things that are going to help somebody and not harm them. Because again, like you said, mentally, we don't know where a person is at. We really don't. And that's why it's so important, because you can really affect somebody by the things that you say to them.
Yeah, it's so important. And I think this is, you know, what you're saying is important for us to start inculcating into our children from a very young age. Because, you know, the way we speak to them, we as parents, the way we speak to them is what they are going to be doing in future. They are going to be talking in the same way that we talk. And that's why it is so important when you talk to your child, you need to be absolutely sure how you talk to your child. It's so important, you know, we don't realize it, but this, especially when they are so young, this is when they are picking up everything you are saying. Every tone, the way you say things is what children will do. It, and I think you just have to sometimes sit down and listen to kids when they're talking, and you will immediately know, this is what I said. Yes. This is how I said it, and this is how that kid picked it up.
Very you true. Know? I always say, kids, they don't listen to what you say. They watch what you do, and then that's what they copy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so, you know, why is it so important in Islam, especially, to hold our tongue, you know, to speak good or to remain silent?
So, it is reported in a hadith that a Muslim is one from whose tongue and hands another Muslim is safe. So, if we look at today's time, we are living in an era where we speak to win, or to have the last say, because that's power. Or we have this attitude, who do they think we are? But this way is also a terrible way, because it doesn't allow us to think before we speak. We're literally just listening to fire back. And we don't think of the consequences that they have, mm-hmm. because most times it doesn't affect us, so we don't care. Right? And it's so important to remember that things that come out of your mouth, it reflects what's in your heart, what you are holding in your mind, what you're holding in your heart. When it comes out of your mouth, people are getting to see what's inside, what you're holding in your heart. And I read something that was very interesting, funny enough, by Umar radiallahu anh, and it says, I have never regretted my silence. As for my speech, I've regretted it many times. And I'm sure loads of us can resonate with this. You know, after you have an argument with somebody, your spouse, a friend, whoever it is, you go home and later on in the evening, you're sitting with your cup of tea and you're thinking about this conversation. You're like, oh my God, I should have not said this. I should have rather kept quiet. I should have, you know, that's why I always say silence. You don't have to regret it later, because there's nothing. You said nothing, you hurt nobody. It's always better that way. You don't always have to respond. And that's something we need to learn.
Yeah, I think that's something that's very difficult. You know, I think these days people think, you know, it's important to be able to immediately tell a person back. If that person has said something, you must be able to respond to that person immediately. Whether you hurt the person in the process doesn't matter. You know, and I think the thing is, the regret always comes too late. So you've said it, but you'll only think about it later, and then you realize, oh my goodness, what did I say to this person?
And the worst thing is, You cannot take back what you say. And people really need to understand this. Once it's out of your mouth, whether in anger, whether in whatever it is, you can't take it back. So that person may forgive you, but he will never forget, or she will never forget how you made them feel. And that is so important.
Mm-hmm. It's you can hurt a person physically. The hurt will go away. You know, you may hurt the person, the scar will probably go away, but the scar that you've left on the heart or the mind, that unfortunately will take very long, if at all it goes away.
Definitely.
Okay, now this is almost 90% of ailments in one's conduct could be cured by keeping control over one's tongue, and also uttering kind words. Why is excessive talking bad, really?
So, you know, excessive talking, it's bad because it causes you to be heedless of what you are saying, right? And you're not actually listening to what you're saying. You're just babbling on, and I call it word vomit.
Or diarrhea.
Yeah, or diarrhea. Because you're just babbling and babbling and babbling, and you're not listening. You're not being a good listener to other people. That's how conversations work. It's not just about listening to yourself talk all the time. And you're not taking other people's opinions and views into consideration respectfully. You're not controlling your tongue. But you're not controlling your tongue, sometimes you say hurtful things or inappropriate things, and you can actually harm friendships and relationships. And it is said that every morning, all the organs call out to your tongue, and they say, "Fear the Almighty regarding all of us. It is through you that we are known." So be careful of what you say. And this is so important, because you really are known by your tongue. If you sometimes think about somebody that you've met in your life, or somebody talks about somebody and you think about it, you think, oh, this person is so amazing, like they're so vibrant, like you just want to stay in their company because they make you feel good. And then sometimes you think of another person and you're just like, oh, I'd rather not her. I'd rather not just do like the sharp tongue and, you know, doom and gloom. And so you really are known by the things that you say. So it's so important. Always be kind. Always say the right thing if you can. Or again, keep quiet.
Keep quiet. Be silent.
Yes.
And, you know, I think also it's very important for you to be able to listen to the next person. You know, listen to what the person is saying. Don't just be busy thinking in your own mind, what can I say to that person? What can I... You know, that's what we unfortunately do. We don't really listen to what the... We don't really... In our conversations, you know? Yeah, you don't listen. You don't understand what the person is trying to tell you. Maybe they're not using the right way or the right words. But try and understand what the next person is saying before you reply to the person. And like you said, if you feel I'm not going to say that my response is not going to be good enough right now, just be silent. It costs you nothing to keep quiet.
That is very true.
What is the need to understand the effects of our speech, the extent to which it can harm others in particular?
You know, the most important piece of advice I can give everybody listening today is never ever underestimate the power of words. It has the potential to accomplish anything or destroy absolutely everything for a person. And we have this culture where we need to get out of it, where we have this attitude where I can say whatever I want to because I've reached that age. I'm old now and I've earned it. I can say whatever I want to say, however I want to say, and you just have to listen and you just have to get over it. Or I'm educated, I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, I know more than you. So what do you know? I get to say the last say. Or my personal favorite is, I'm a straightforward person. This is who I am. This is what I am. I say what I mean. I get it off my chest. And you just need to understand and take it. It's nothing personal. And this is a terrible, terrible, terrible attitude to have, because things don't work like that. You know, our brains are programmed in such a way that you can give somebody 99 compliments, but the one bad comment, the one negative comment that you give a person, that is what will stick with that person forever. So I can see you today and I can say, you know, you look so lovely and you look so gorgeous, but you know that perfume that you're wearing, it doesn't smell nice. It may not smell nice for you, right? But you say that, and the person's not going to think about the fact that I've said you look lovely and amazing. They're going to think, oh my God, I'm smelling bad. I'm smelling bad. The whole day that's going to be like, I'm smelling, do I smell bad? Do I smell bad? Are you sure? Are you sure? And it's going to affect them the whole day. And that's so terrible to do to somebody. And also, we need to remember something, that words have a long-lasting effect. So you can say something without thinking that it's going to harm somebody else, but it can sit with them for years and years, and they may never get over that one thing. And so it's so important. And remember, I'm not saying don't say your say. Don't have your say. Say what you need to say. And it just understand, it's not what you are saying to the person. It's how you are saying it to them. So if you want to tell somebody, look, your perfume isn't smelling nice, just say, is that the only fragrance you have? Let's see the other ones. Let's look at what other fragrances you have. Oh, wow, this one smells amazing as well. You should try this one. That's so nice, because you're not leaving that person feeling like, oh, my God, I'm smelling. Exactly. It's a simple thing, but you'll be surprised what an impact it has on people. And, you know, again, we don't know people's mental states. And maybe somebody is just looking for someone to give them some positive something, and it'll take them through so many days. And maybe you give them a negative comment, and it just destroys everything that they may have. And that is so terrible. That is against even what Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, or used to do, or used to practice. He always made people feel good, and he always made people want to be around him. And everyone always thought he was their best friend. And that is such a lovely thing.
To make the person feel that you're the most important person, yes, in front of me right now.
Exactly.
You know, no, you do find people doing that to you. You know, no, you feel, if you're in the company of this person, oh my goodness, this person makes me feel so important.
Yes.
You know, you feel you're the only one that is so important to this person.
Exactly.
And, you know, talking about, you know, making people feel down, and I think it's many people that are going on a diet, weight again, please, you know, and you come here, poor lady, trying her best to lose a few kilos, and you get this one person coming, oh, you've put on weight again, I see.
Exactly.
Oh, my goodness. You know, I think it can break any person.
It really can. And you know what? You could be the most motivated, like, yes, I've lost so much weight. And somebody tells you you're fat, and you're like, okay, I'm going to buy my chocolate cake now.
I might as well have it,
seeing there's no difference.
Yeah, no, alhamdulillah, it's so important, you know. I think also what you mentioned about people being straightforward, thinking that we're straightforward, we can say whatever we want to. But would that straightforward person be able to take back the same kind of treatment? Would they
exactly
love it? I don't think they like it. No, no one person that says, I've met a few people like that already in my life, you know, where they say they're very straightforward, but the minute you turn around and you tell them something, oh my God, it's the end of the world.
Yes, they get so
yes, now we need to be very careful how we talk to people and take into account what the next person may be feeling.
Very
I think
important.
That's very important. And finally, what is the best way to hold your tongue when you are angry? Because unfortunately, you know, sometimes you become so angry.
So I had to think long and hard about this question. And so I thought about things that I actually do in my personal capacity, things that I've been practicing my whole life. And the first thing I would say is delay your reaction. And the one way that you can do that is by taking in a deep breath slowly and holding it for a few seconds and then breathing out slowly again. That helps you to calm down. If you can do it a few times, I know it's tough in the beginning, but it takes practice, and it really can happen. You can do it. And I always say, be silent, and be silent in these situations. Be silent in the heat of anger. Be silent if your words will offend a person. Be silent when you don't have all the facts. When you are feeling critical, if your words could damage a relationship, if you cannot say it without screaming, or if your words will convey the wrong impression to a person. These are so important to think, because if two people are screaming at each other, it's not constructive. Right? If you don't have all the effects, then what are you doing? You're making up things. You're blaming somebody for something you don't even know. You don't even have all the facts. It's so important. And nowadays, these are things that we do. You don't have all. You read half a message. You heard half the gossip. And now you're like, you. And you're screaming. And how can you do this to me? And how can you do? But do you even know? Did you even check? So it's so important. I always say, when I'm calm and when I can think up and process things, then I want to know what I'm saying to you. I want to know when later on tonight, I want to know that I said the right thing, rather, again, keep quiet. And also, there is that used to the effect that if a person becomes angry while he's standing, he should sit down. And if the anger doesn't leave him, if he's standing, he should sit down. And if the anger doesn't leave him, he should try and lie down. And if the anger still hasn't left him, he should try and make wudu. So these are things that can help us all the time. And again, these are things I use myself. So sometimes, you know, our parents get upset with us or they're shouting at us, whatever. I try and I keep quiet first. I listen to what's happening. And I try and understand what is happening. Sometimes somebody just, your mom just has an off day or something. It's better to just keep quiet and listen. It's not always an attack. And sometimes when somebody is attacking you, you need to understand that it's not about you sometimes. Sometimes it's about something that's happening inside of them. Some horribleness or some badness or something that's happening inside of them, and they can't contain it anymore, and then it just comes out of their mouth and they just lash out at everyone. So that, like I said, you don't always have to answer back. Sometimes you just keep quiet and let them lash out and just understand it has absolutely nothing to do with you.
I think you get so much out of it, really, you know, just to keep quiet and to listen. And if you don't want to listen, just don't listen.
Exactly.
You know, just continue again, what you're doing and not respond. I think that's very important, just to keep quiet.
And again, like I said, I find the easiest way, sometimes when someone's screaming, you just understand it has nothing to do with you. It really, lots of the time, it has nothing. Most probably, a lot of the time, they have 10 other things going on in their lives. And then now your thing was the 11th thing and you got it.
Yeah, sometimes they just find it easier to be able to lash out at this particular person instead of everybody else.
Yes.
Well, it's many a times it does happen. It's very true what you've just said. In any case, finally, you know, what message do you have for our listeners out there?
Be kind. Be kind to people around you and understand that at the end of the day, after everything is said and done, we are Muslims. And people out there, they don't look at you, how you're dressed. They don't know. Anyone can wear a scarf. Anyone can wear a dress. You don't know exactly who's who in the zoo. But what you can get from somebody, what people get when they see a Muslim, is how you made them feel. And so I always say, be kind. Speak good things only. It doesn't matter who you're speaking to, a white, a black, an Indian, an Asian. It doesn't matter who you're speaking to, who you're dealing with. Your job is to look after what you say. And so always take care of the things that come out of you, because it's a reflection of who you are and of your soul and of how your mind works. And it's so important that when you are out there in the world, that's what you're representing, your true self and a kind self. Because this world is already so difficult. There's already so many bad things happening out there. You be that change. You be that kind person that somebody may need. You never know.
Definitely. Well, I just like to end with this. It says, remember this, respected listeners. In life, when all else fails, there's a foolproof way to hold your tongue. Stay silent. That can be a challenge like no other, but you can do it. If your husband or your wife or anyone else is telling you just what they think, insulting you left and right, button your lips and hold on tight. Don't give in. You may have the perfect comeback, but it isn't perfect if it isn't said in love. So that's what you know, what you were trying to tell our listeners all the time. Alhamdulillah. So respected listeners, take note of this. Everyone should be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to become angry. Next time someone tries to pick a fight with you or comes at you harshly, stay silent and watch how fast the fire dies down. You know, it's so important for us to remember this. You know, just keep silent, because the more you say, the more the person is going to say back to you, and there's never going to be an end to it. It'll just go tit for tat, tit for tat. So, alhamdulillah, I hope you've listened to and, you know, you've benefited at least from this talk today. I certainly have, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. I think we've just got no time left, actually. But alhamdulillah, it was a wonderful talk, and I think I enjoyed it so much having somebody with me in the studio today. So with that, we'll take your leave, inshallah, and we'll also take leave of our listeners. But I'd just like to say Jazakallah khair to Sister Nasira Nanabai, my program's producer, and of course my guest, Sister Shaisa Ibrahim, that came on earlier, and we spoke about self-control, and of course now with Sister Taskeen Kareem, where we were talking about, you know, holding your tongue, which I think is so, so important. And of course, to my engineer, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.